This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. So joining us today on the show is John Chong, Executive Director of TI Homes, a property developer from Perak that has recently been building retirement villages. However, they've also been building homes since 1993 and now boast multiple residential projects as well as townships. So, John, thank you for coming on the show. And since we're on the topic of retirement, what are the retirement property options available in the market?
Hi, Xiaoning. Thanks for having me on the show. Basically, in Malaysia at the moment, there aren't very many options since this market is fairly new. We have a lot of the traditional old folks homes and nursing homes, which have been seen in neighbourhoods around Malaysia for many years. And only in the last perhaps 3 to 4 years, we've seen a new generation of aged care and retirement homes starting to come onto the market.
And run us through this. What is the big difference between, let's say, the traditional old folks home and the new kind of retirement aged care homes?
Basically, the difference is in quality and care. Much of the older old folks homes that we have in Malaysia are very poorly run. The buildings are not purpose-built. They just take, say, a corner terrace house or perhaps a bungalow, renovate it. Many of the older ones also have very poor care because they only have, say, the foreign maids as caretakers. Some of the better ones start to be now perhaps run by doctors or they have nurses coming in. The newer style of retirement villages, one, we tend to focus more on lifestyle and quality, meaning that we are looking at a younger set of seniors now, people who are still mobile and independent.
Okay. But let's just go back to the old folks home or even the retirement homes, right? The newer ones. Of course, it's all down to cost, isn't it? Cost plays a certain role in terms of making that choice. But if we look at it, what else should we consider? Things like nurse-to-patient ratio, cleanliness, what are the criteria that we should bear in mind before deciding old folks home or retirement home?
Right. You're right that cost plays a big factor because there's a limited budget. In the past, it used to be the case that only those who were perhaps desperate needed to go to retirement homes, or rather old folks homes. So most of them tended to work on a very low budget. That is why you see them just having a renovated house with cheap labor to help out. But nowadays, as this new generation of baby boomers are retiring, they are looking at something of a higher quality because they are able to afford it. So much of the differences is actually in terms of demand, just as in regular housing, where in the past, people used to live in various kinds of neighborhoods. Now you see more high-end properties coming in, gated, guarded communities. So similarly, with senior living options, the market is also responding to what the consumers want. If people want a higher level of care, a better environment, more heart, so to speak, then to design such a place, to put in the proper facilities, to put in the manpower, the training, the systems, and the management, that comes at a certain cost.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is reflected in the generally higher cost that the residents have to pay.
But what should you be on the lookout for? If let's say you are shopping around for a retirement home, what are the criteria you would you consider? Is it like the types of facilities? Is there an ideal number of, let's say, patient to staff ratio that one should consider?
Okay.
Or for like food quality, I heard even things like visiting hours is something that someone should bear in mind.
Yeah, when you're talking about care homes, yes, those are the factors. You would look at the environment. some landscaping, size of the rooms. As you said, staff ratios, you know, there's no guidelines in Malaysia, really. But overseas, you know, depending on the level of care, it could be like 8 to 1 to 12 to 1. Yes, food is a factor.
Being Malaysian, well, it would be very important.
Yes, very much so. As well as not only in terms of taste, but some of the better ones also start to have, say, a proper nutritionist or dietitian looking at the food, you know, in terms of controlling, say, sodium levels, oil levels, etc. You also look at what sort of standards or philosophy that the home has. Yeah. So in terms of care homes, that would be the criteria. Then you have a second set, what we call retirement villages for the independent seniors. So again, you'll be looking at physical environment, facilities, whether there are activities or, you know, function rooms, you know, to cater for this group of more what you call active seniors, whether there's a dedicated management team that plans activities for the seniors, as well as looking at location. Because for the independent senior, they would still like to be in a, I suppose, location as well serviced. Are there shopping malls nearby? In case they need to go out shopping. What about medical facilities? Where are the nearest hospitals? Are they close to the typical amenities, you know, that an active senior needs? So the two different crowds have slightly different needs.
But in the retirement village, is there capacity for them if, let's say, they do face more serious medical conditions? Would it be similar to like to fully cared homes?
Okay. Retirement village, by definition, is slightly different because it caters to a senior who is independent and mobile. But yes, there always has to be a contingency. Just in the event they have a temporary setback. So for example, let's say they have a slight fall. So they might be in a wheelchair for a few weeks while they recover. Or they may have, say, a mild stroke. So in a retirement village, normally what happens is that we can bring in additional services to support them when they need it and only for that period. So once it's no longer necessary, because these additional services will come at a cost.
Of course.
So once no longer necessary, right, that can be withdrawn. And then they just go back to their usual lifestyle, like in the village.
And what other services do you provide? Are they regular doctor visits if need be, or physiotherapy? Because a lot of elderly also suffer, not necessarily from really any fatal illnesses, but let's say they have degenerative muscular conditions, they need exercise, you know. Do you provide that kind of service?
Yep. Okay. Now, in our retirement village where most of our seniors are still mobile and independent, the level of regular doctor visits is actually very low because most of them are still very, very healthy. They do not need regular checkups only when they are unwell. The only scheduled visits that they have will be if, let's say, they have a pre-existing condition, they already have their regular, say, cardiologist or whatever, you know, then they will just go. So many of these seniors, they already have the doctors that they know and trust. So rather than having a stranger come in, because they're still mobile, they would still go and visit at whichever hospital they have nearby. They would still go and visit them. But in the event that there are minor, say, you just need a GP, and if they can't go out, we do have on our panel, you know, some GPs who are willing to do home visits. So we know they will inform us they're unwell, and then we can call a GP in to just visit them. When you talk about things like physiotherapy, etc., again, only when it is needed. So what we have typically are not so much what you'd call the more serious therapy, but more of activities for general maintenance and well-being, like Tai Chi. We've got somebody who comes in to do stretch and tone, helping them to maintain balance and flexibility. So things like Zumba Gold for the seniors. So those are the regular, in a sense, lifestyle activities that maintains their overall health.
And just one more question. How do you, let's say there's some emergency in the retirement village. I suppose there are certain kind of facilities for them to call if they need help, right?
Yes.
Like special buzzers or how does it work?
That is one of the you could say, peace of mind features in a retirement village, because they're living further away from their relatives or their children, they always have a concern that if, let's say, I need help, who do I call and who can respond to me quickly? Because even in, say, a large urban area like KL, for, say, a parent living at home, if, let's say, you have an emergency at home and you call your child who's working somewhere far away because of traffic, etc., it could take a person, you know, maybe 40 minutes, an hour just to get home.
Yes.
So in, say, our retirement village, in the homes, we have what we call, you could say, emergency call buttons, you know, located in, say, the bathrooms, in the bedrooms, in the hall, so that in the event of any emergency, you press a button, then our management team itself will respond. They're all first aid trained, and they will see, they're like basically first responders to see what they need to do to escalate the situation. If, let's say, the situation requires paramedics and hospital attention, then they will call in the paramedics. If it's something, say, less serious, perhaps you just need to call a doctor in, then, you know, they will do that. So at least it gives the residents a peace of mind that in case there's an emergency, there is someone who will come to attend.
There's help at hand.
There's help at hand, yes. They may not be the doctors themselves, but at least, okay, right, they will call the relevant people in then to escalate it to the next stage if necessary.
We'll be back with more after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and with me here today is John Chong, Executive Director of TI Homes, to talk about retirement and where you should consider to live when the time comes. Okay, moving on to this interesting topic, I'm going to ask you about cost. Because,
right,
you know, yes, we all like to retire in comfort and in the place that we are happy with, but there is a cost, isn't it? So let's say for a retirement village, what is the cost structure like? Or how much should I set aside for that day?
Okay. At the present moment, there is no single model in terms of pricing for retirement villages. So different developers who are doing, there are many different models. Some go on a purely rental model. You cannot buy the property, you pay a monthly rent.
Okay, and what is the range like so far? Do you know? Let's say for
example, there was one which is proposed on Jalan Ampang. I remember during the market surveys for their retirement village, they were asking about 6,000 a month.
6,000 a month?
That's okay. Right, for the retirement village.
But is that all inclusive?
That I am not very sure, but I believe they include a lot of the basic services. So it would be up to each owner and operator of a retirement village to define what is included in that particular package. Mm. Right? For example, for us, we work on a slightly different basis. We do what we call a lifetime lease.
Okay.
So instead of a person paying a monthly rent, what the person does is they get a lifetime lease that lasts, well, their lifetime. They pay a lump sum upfront. In our case, it starts from 310,000. And when they decide to terminate the lease, whether they decide to say, oh, I want to now move overseas with my children, you know, or I decide to move out for whatever reason, we actually refund that entire amount back to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So our model is quite different.
But what do you refund? The entire amount?
Yes. So for example, let's say the person bought our small unit at 310,000.
Yes.
They've stayed there for 10 years and then okay, they decide to move out. We do refund that 310,000 back to them.
But how do you make your profit then? How do you make
Our profit actually comes from utilization, self-utilization of that funds in the meantime, to power our other projects.
Okay.
Right. Aside from that amount of the 310,000, we do also collect a monthly
maintenance fee.
So just like, say, you're living in a condominium, you do pay the price of that condominium plus your monthly service charges and sinking fund. So we collect that in addition. That part is non-refundable.
Okay. But yep, what are your maintenance fees or your service fees then?
Okay. It again depends on the size of the unit, but it starts from about 300 plus ringgit to about 500 plus ringgit.
And does it matter whether there's a couple or just a single person?
It goes by the unit. So whether that unit is occupied by one person or a couple, there's no difference.
But this refund of 310,000, assuming the person bought the smallest unit,
yes,
that refund is done by your company. It's not a requirement that they sell it on to another interested party, is it?
Okay. Overseas, where the market is much more mature, yes, there is a, you could say, a very liquid market. You know, people can buy and sell these properties on the open market. In Malaysia, because this industry is very new, a lot of people always have that question, what if I can't sell, etc. So that's why at this stage, when the market is in its infancy, for us, we want to give that assurance to our buyers that, look, you don't have to worry about sourcing for a new buyer because of the uncertainties since the market is new. So essentially, we will do it for you. So you don't have to worry about, oh, what if I can't find someone? Or what if it takes me 6 months to dispose of this?
Mm.
So in our case, we more or less, because of the refund, essentially it's like we buy it back from you.
But then that's subject to the ability of you to buy it back from them in a way, right?
Correct,
make sure
yes.
that the project is still viable, let's say 10, 15, 20 years later,
yep,
right? There
correct.
Is some risk there.
Yes.
Okay. And just curious also, this retirement village, does it operate within a legal framework? Is there a Malaysian legal framework for such a project?
There are no specific legal frameworks for retirement villages at this moment. It is something that the industry, we are also members of REDA, the Real Estate Developers Association, and we've had committees internally, basically encouraging the government to set up regulations because it also helps to give certainty to the industry.
Because I've not heard of life leases in Malaysia. That's not a common concept. Anyway.
Correct. It's not a common concept. I mean, for us, why we introduced this concept is because we wanted to retain control over the character and nature of the place as a retirement village. The moment once you sell, as usual, to transfer of title, you tend to lose control. What happens, when the properties are then, say, either rented out or on sale to other people who may not be seniors, then it starts to change. But we don't have that framework in Malaysia to restrict this, whereas overseas they do. So that's one of the things that we would like to encourage the government to take up in order to promote this industry.
So when it comes to life leases, is it valid? I mean, has it been tested in the Malaysian market? Are you the first?
We are probably the first to do life leases. There is a very basic framework in our National Land Code, which allows people to register such long leases onto the title. So which we do that to give some sense of security to the resident. That means, say, unlike a tenancy, which is renewed year to year, at any time, the landlord could say, kick you out and say, I'm not renewing anymore. But under this system, your lease is actually registered or endorsed onto the title, which guarantees your stay.
Mm.
So it's not possible for just
evicted.
Say, yeah, that's right,
Okay. Are there any conditions in which you can evict a title holder, or there's no way?
Okay. That would be dependent on the contract document. So we do sign a lease agreement with our residents. So in general, there are, yes, some contractual terms, for when we can say terminate a lease, for example, if let's say they do not pay their maintenance charges, or they cause major damage or become, say, a danger or a nuisance to other residents.
And do you then guarantee also certain level of standards of, let's say, cleanliness, assistance in your facilities?
Yes, well, we maintain it as best as we can. Those are more or less like self-regulated standards for maintenance. So a lot of the operational details tend to be self-regulated by each operator of the placer. So, if let's say you want to continue to impress your visitors, to attract more customers, then of course, you would try to maintain the place as best as you can. Otherwise, you're only shooting yourself in the foot, right? When people come and say, oh, what's that smell? How come,
Oh, it looks very
dirty.
Depressing.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And this is a question I think that we all will have to ask ourselves one day. How do I know when I need assisted living?
Okay, when you talk about assisted living,
or when it's time to move into a retirement village.
Okay. There are two different sets of customers that we're targeting. The people who are looking for retirement villages tend to be a younger set, mobile, independent. They're looking for lifestyle. They're looking for a place where they can feel secure, where there are services catered to them to basically enhance their well-being, to have them live a longer and healthier life. So it's very much a lifestyle play. They would say that, okay, I'm now living in my, say, semi-D or in a condominium. I don't find that it fulfills my needs in terms of community or services, not for a senior-specific purpose. So then they tend to look for something. Whereas when you talk about assisted living, the key there is the word assisted. It means that you are reaching a stage where you cannot function by yourself. So that's very much a needs-based. There'll come a time when you find, oh, I can't seem to manage. I have to bother or call my children very often, or I need to, say, rely on my maid too much if you have one.
Even to go to the washroom, simple things like this, right?
So when you get to that stage, very often it tends to start becoming quite obvious that, oh, I can't manage myself, or if I need to bring in outside specialized help, like a private nurse, it may be too expensive. So now may be the time for me to consider going to an assisted living kind of environment.
Okay. So, and what's the youngest people you have in your retirement village? I'm just curious so that we can get a gauge of like who signs up.
For our retirement village, currently we have an age limit for entering, and that's 55.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we do have a few who are in their late 50s. Mm-hmm. The average age, I would say, would be mid-60s. If we just average out all our residents, we have some residents even in their 80s, but they're still mobile and independent. They're still very fit. So, you know, as long as they fit that category of mobile and independent, we're happy to welcome them.
That's all the time today we have for the Property Show. Thank you for being on the show, John. And that was John Chong, Executive Director of TI Homes, giving us some color on what to expect if you are considering a retirement village. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.